Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Drunk Wiki. I'm 4 beers in, so we're looking good for this evening. It's been a while. I've been away, unfortunately, off sick. So I've been set back a little bit, but I'm back. I'm pretty much better. And we're going to kick off today. I think we've got a random article here, which is Hellion. It's a character in the Marvel Comics, apparently. I've literally just hit the button. I'm not sure what I'm looking at, but we're going to dive straight in. We're going to be all over the place because that's the whole point. I've had a few craft ales, and they're sitting pretty good. So it's a bit weird, actually, because I've just been chilling out watching Titans Season 2 on Netflix. So this seems to be fitting in nicely with the comic book theme. So we're going to dive straight in. So the random article is on the character Hellion. Feel free to correct me. He is a fictional character and a mutant appearing in the American comic books published by Marvel. And he was a member of the student body of the Xavier Institute before its closing and is a member of the X-Men's training squad. So there we are. If no one knows who the X-Men are, just kind of tip over the rock that you've been living under. There's been numerous films and the such out for a while. They're basically a band of superheroes who are part of the Marvel Universe. And now with all the films that have been out recently with Endgame and Phase 4 or 5 is going to kick off, and it's going to be basically looking into that sort of thing. So I think this is what that's from. It's from that vein. I'm not a massive comic book nerd. I don't really know the superhero franchises that well. So you're going to have to, I'm going to have to apologise essentially for any odyssey, but I can put a little bit of blame onto the beer. I mean, what have we got here today? We've got Hop Hunter Session from Lidl's finest craft beer. Yeah, good stuff. So we've got it's all structured nicely. We've got the fictional character biography. It looks like we've got a series of stories and what the character goes through. It's quite a bit. Goes over its powers and abilities, and then its appearances in the media. So it's quite a hefty article, to be honest. It's the kind of size I'm looking for when I do these podcasts. So let's dive straight in before my water seal breaks. The fictional character apparently is born in Los Angeles, California. It's fucking typical, isn't it? They're all born in Los Angeles, California. To parents who manage to work their way out of poverty to become billionaires. I mean, fantastic. Yeah, that always happens. Julian was sent to Xavier Institute in hopes that he would learn to use his powers with some discretion. Of course, brilliant. So you've come from poverty to become literal fucking billionaires, and you've also got powers. I mean, it's the literal height of privilege, isn't it? Hellion, you little shit. Anyway, so he quickly adapted an attitude of superiority. Yeah, we all saw that coming. While training at the Xavier Institute, that has annoyed some of his classmates. I mean, understandably. It's pissing me off. I've only had 4 beers. A fast favourite of headmistress Emma Frost, don't know who she is, who sees him in great potential for heroism, as well as a frightening disposition for personal gain and villainy. Surprise, fucking surprise. Julian named himself Hellion in tribute to the former White Queen's first class of students. So basically, the first impression was, he's a dick. And the conclusion is, he's a dick. So, we're on to a great start there. Hellion has demonstrated quite a significant interest in Sophia Mantega, a co-leader of the rival New Mutants squad. So, he's a bit of a dick, but, you know, he's got his urges, he's got his needs and his interests. And his romantic interest seems to be Sophia Mantega. Or it could not be, I might be assuming. the two different personalities had a flirtatious relationship from the beginning, but also often clashed when it came to ideals and beliefs. So, it looks like it was a romantic relationship. The two had quite an effect on each other. While Sophia became more rebellious, even helping the Hellions attempt to break Wither out of jail, Julian became more sensitive and more comfortable with his emotions. However, when Sophia rejected Julian's invitation to the school dance, Julian dated all three of the Stepford Cuckoos. I think that name has a different sort of weight these days, doesn't it? By the end of the night, the pair eventually reunited on the dance floor. So, there's already a bit of a situation going on here, isn't there? Despite his relationship with Sophia, he is particularly hard on her new mutant teammates, like David Elaine. I'm not going to pronounce any of these correctly, so fuck it. The new mutant's other leader, whom he views as possessing a particularly useful mutant power and as a genuine competitor as a leader and strategist. However, when the blob attacked the school, Julian found David's plan of attack. Very interesting. Very, very interesting. He had an on and off relationship. I'm misreading here. He had an on and off friendship with Elixir, initially befriending him until he learned of his past as a Reaver, whatever the fuck that is. However, they have since reconciled and have a more friendly and supportive relationship. Right, let's just stop there. I've had a few beers. I haven't got a fucking clue what's going on, and I've already read it through. So, we know that Hellion is a bit of a dick. He comes from about as much privilege as you can possibly imagine. And he really likes this Sophia Mantega, but they have a, you know, back and forth, you know. This Julian guy seems to be his alter ego. So, you know, this Hellion guy, Julian, same shit. Julian become more sensitive and comfortable with his emotions, and however, when Sophia rejected him, Julian kicked off and started dating every other fucker. He dated all three of the Stepford Cuckoos. By the end of the night, the pair eventually reunited on the dance floor. So it seems to be that Julian can carry on being a dick and he has no repercussions. So, yeah, he really, really sounds like a dick. Despite his tumultuous relationship with the New Mutants, he was the one who encouraged Sophia to put her squad back together when they were on the brink of disbanding. How fucking charitable of you, Julian, you little prick. How frightfully, frightfully charitable of you. You're literally brimming with empathy. I'm so fucking proud of you. Right, let's move on. Post-M-Day. Whatever that means. In the aftermath of M-Day, the previous squad system has been abandoned due to diminished number of powered students. Those left have been placed to join the only squad that would train under the X-Men, called the New X-Men team. How original. Just prior to the competition, Emma asked Julian to make sure that X-23 was eliminated early. However, when given the chance to knock her out, he saved her instead, because he owed her for doing the same thing during a session in the Danger Cave. Fuck me, that's a horrendous euphemism, isn't it? As a result, Emma placed Surge as team leader to punish Julian. Surge and Hellion, which is Julian, had a well-documented mutual dislike for each other, which only intensified after M-Day. When Sophia overheard Julian saying the depowered David Elaine no longer belonged to the Institute, the also now human Mantega ended her relationship with Keller. Keller is Julian's surname, by the way. She abruptly left the Institute and left Hellion angry and distraught. Julian and Sophia have both been known to dream of each other since Sophia left the school. Holy shit. Okay, so this Wikipedia page is just an absolute clusterfuck. It's referring to Hellion as Hellion, Julian, and Keller. And if I'm honest, it's not conducive to a drunk wiki, because I'm having to really concentrate here, and it's an absolute shit fest. So I'm sure anyone who's listening is equally as confused. Right, we're moving on to the next one now. So we have Mercury falling. Julian having trouble with his powers. Boo-hoo, you privileged bitch. Is practicing the beast in the danger room. Okay, so we've... Let's just stop there. We've got danger cave and danger room. I mean... comic books, am I right? Anyway, beast in the danger room. When he accidentally blows a hole in the floor. After taking a shower, he goes looking for Mercury when he comes across Loa, Rockslide and Anole watching the Young Avengers on TV. He eventually finds a bloodied X-23 and finds out Mercury has been kidnapped by the facility and tags along. X-23 uses her underworld contacts to find Mercury's captors, and Julian is horrified when Laura kills people working for the people who created her, and he tells her not to. Holy fucking shit. So, really, Emma asked Julian to make sure that X-23 was eliminated earlier, and now X-23 is using her underworld contacts to find Mercury's captors, and Julian's horrified. I mean, it's all fucking going on, isn't it? After a brief fright, Julian throws Kimura a few miles away. Hang on a second. After a brief fight, Julian throws Kimura a few miles away. It's a bit drastic, isn't it? A brief fight. So you'd argue a brief fight might fall under the category of a scuffle. And so he threw her a few miles away. I mean, it's just overkill, isn't it? It's distasteful, at the very least. Anyway, and together they find Mercury when they are confronted by a bunch of Predator X's. One injures his shot. I haven't got a fucking clue what a Predator X is. Do you know what? Skip to the next bit. I don't know what the shit's going on here. Quest for magic. Oh, bit of this ale's coming back up, not going to lie. In the form of gas. Come on now. So, quest for magic. This is the next bit. Alongside Nori, Helion is one of the students who wasn't transported to Limbo. While he and Serge argue about his reckless disregard for her leadership by leaving with X-23 to save Mercury and not telling her, the other students inside the X-Mansion get transported to Limbo while they are still outside. Trance used her powers to get a message to her to the two. She told them that they were taken to hell, and then she said, Belasco, and disappeared. I mean, why wouldn't you say Belasco? You know, when I leave the house, or when I leave work, or get off, you know, public transport, which I haven't used for years. You know, you shoot out the old Belasco. I mean, who doesn't? Who the fuck is Belasco? Anyway, Serge and Helion went to the one, but on the Wikipedia page it's O*N*E. Again, not a fucking clue, but I'm sure the comic book nerds know exactly what that's on about. They found out that Amanda Sefton was in a coma in Germany. The two demanded that they would be the ones to go see her. Now, later, Helion, Serge, and this Sentinel are transported to Limbo by Sefton. They are greeted by thousands, if not millions, of demons. After... Right, so a capital I looks a lot like a lowercase l, so I'm going to guess it's Ilyana, comes to her senses. She teleports everyone back to the X-Mansion. Or the X-Men house. Or the fucking X-Crimbo. Crimbo? That's the shortened version for Christmas, isn't it? I think I mean crib. Anyway, what we can see here is the plot is in complete shambles. Complete load of bollocks. And rather fitting that everyone's been jetting off to all these sorts of places. You know, Timbuktu, Limbo, hell. And all it takes is one character to click her fucking fingers and they're all back home. Happy days. How fantastic. The plot ribbons get tied together beautifully. All ends well. Brilliant. Good fucking grief. Anyway, let's move on, shall we? World War Hulk. Hellion is one of the students that goes up against the Hulk when he shows up at the Institute. Brilliant, of course he is, arrogant prick. He uses his powers to pin down the Hulk in the first attack, but Hulk knocks him away. I mean, of course he is, he's fucking jacked. Look at him, green giant. When Hellion goes in for a second attack, he is the first to be defeated. Hulk realizes he is a telekinetic, so he gets him out of the way. Hulk smashes his hand together, creating a boom which knocks out Hellion, rupturing his eardrums. I mean, that's what you're gonna get, bitch. That's what you're gonna get. Karma. Hulk knows his shit, and he took you down, you arrogant, overprivileged bitch. Anyway, there's quite a bit here, actually. There is quite a bit, but you know, this podcast, it's all about getting through it. And it's all about me getting through it at this point, I'm not gonna lie. So, let's move on. Children of X-Men. While practicing his powers, Julian, our best friend, complains to Mercury about his powers and says he can't deal with anything smaller than a refrigerator, and because Marvel Girl is still in space, he's one of the last telekinetics on the planet. Oh, boo fucking who, mate. You finally come across an obstacle and you're bitching out. Anyway, afterwards, he and Mercury are with the Stepford Cuckoos, who, by the way, he's got with all three of them. We're not going to forget what happened before, right? Couldn't even get a dance with Sophia, so he fucks off with all of them. Piece of shit. Anyway, so he and Mercury go off to the Stepford Cuckoos, trying to locate the youngest mutant on the planet, when Emma Frost, you know, from earlier, asks to see them both for an interview. He reminds Emma about her bizarre trust speech, and how she has blown them off since the Purifier attack. Now, that hasn't been covered here yet, so let's just forget that. He says that she is just putting a little distance between them in case they don't make it. Fair enough. Later, the students all gather to find out who the youngest student is. During the meeting, Nori kisses Julian in front of Prodigy. Julian pushes her off and notices an upset X-23 leaves. I mean, it's all going on. I think everyone just fancies a bit of Julian. He's a bit of a prick, to be honest. I even sense he might even be a bit evil, and of course, the female characters are going to be written to love that, aren't they? I mean, look at this. Absolute state of it. Anyway, where are we? He flies off outside, and Dust, whoever the fuck that is, catches up to him. He tells her his best friend is dead. The girl he thought he loves is gone. His mentor flipped out. He can't stop thinking about a girl who literally scares him, and now he has to deal with Nori. He says it's too hard, and while he used to be so sure, he has no idea now, and there is no one to show him. He then thanks Soraya for being there. He then walks in on Nori and David in the middle of the fight. He throws David against the ceiling, and when he asks Nori if she is okay, David hits him from behind and injures him. He then tells David that he didn't kiss her, to which David replies, "I know." He is then told to go see Elixir about his injuries. Fuck me, who wrote this Wikipedia page? Honestly, it's an absolute mess. It's worse than what I am now trying to read it. I mean, do you know what? If anyone ends up listening to this podcast and is more interested and invested in comic book literature and the Wikipedia pages, which, you know, denote the intricacies about the characters and the lore and the background, please, go onto the Wikipedia, spend some time just tidying this up. It's a state. It's a fucking state is what it is. I mean, it's probably all there, but it don't read right. Or maybe I'm too many beers down. I'm only four. I mean, come on. Barely tipsy. Anyway, we're on to the next one. Messiah Complex. While recovering from her injuries, Blindfold, which by the way is a character, predicts that Hellion will be injured. Some of the new X-Men decide to launch a preemptive strike against the Purifiers. Sounds a bit American, doesn't it? Anyway, after spying on the Purifiers, they are ambushed by the Reavers and Lady Deathstrike, who critically wounds Hellion. Pixie then manages to teleport the team out and are spread between Washington and the Institute. He was later seen aboard the X-Jet with Iceman and the new X-Men during the Sentinel attack on the mansion, being treated by Mech. I've got to stop. this is ridiculous. I've just had to almost mic drop here. What the fuck am I reading? What am I reading? This is absurd. It's absurd. He was later seen aboard the X-Jet with Iceman. What's in this beer? Am I reading this right? And Pixie teleports the other new X-Men to Muir Island after Predator X attacks the mansion and Hellion is saved by the X-Men. Good fucking grief. It's all kicking off, isn't it? There's still so much more to go. I mean, we were just looking at the Messiah Complex. We've got to look at Divided We Stand. We've got to look at Kidnapping, Utopia, Necrotia, The Second Coming. Oh, I hope that's not a euphemism. Then we've got to look at the Fables of the Reconstruction. Then X-23. The One and Only. And then that's not it. Once we've done with those little story and tidbits, we're looking at the powers and abilities that Hellion has. And then the other versions of the stories. And then, thankfully, it ends there with references. But good grief. Hell of a page just on one character. We better get to it. So, moving on to Divided We Stand. Julian wakes up in a hotel room, still hooked up to some medical equipment. After experiencing flashbacks of his injury, he finds Emma Frost watching over him, who soon informs Julian and the X-Men are no more and the school is gone. Julian immediately panics, claiming Cecily and Soraya would never have left him, and asks where Laura is, but Emma tells him that everyone is being taken care of. Julian tells Emma that she is taking away everything from him again, and Emma puts him to sleep. When Julian wakens again, Emma is gone, and he tries to go back home, only to find his parents have put their house up for sale and moved without telling him. Well, that's fucking karma, isn't it, Julian? I mean, let's be real here. You got it coming. You're a little bitch. So, Julian begins to search for Magneto, soon finding him and claiming that Magneto needs him. See, he's gone to Magneto, who has a penchant for being a bit evil. I mean, anyone who's vaguely familiar with X-Men will know Magneto is a bit of a dick. So there we are. What a fucking surprise. Dick meets dick. Anyway, Magneto refuses, telling him that he knows Julian is extremely hurt by the people he loved, so much so that he wants to hurt them back by joining their greatest enemy. Magneto leaves Julian, telling him to enjoy his time off because a new war of mutant kind will come soon enough. Ooh, hello. The plot thickens. Moving to the next one. Kidnapping. Julian is later kidnapped along with Boom Boom and Surge by the Leper Queen. I mean, for fuck's sake, look, I'm trying to get through this shit. Wikipedia. You can't be throwing things like Boom Boom and the Leper Queen at me. And her Sapient League. I mean, well, it's not you, Wikipedia, is it? It's Marvel. And I've always been a bit more of a DC fan myself, but hey-ho. Anyway, I digress. The Leper Queen injects him with a modified version of the Legacy Virus. After X-Force comes to save the mutants, they find out Surge and Hellion have been sent to the United Nations building. Before Wolverine can kill the Leper Queen and save Julian, Nori, and Boom Boom, X-Force is teleported out by Cyclops. Cyclops being one of the main X-Men, if I remember correctly. However, after completing their mission, X-Force travel back in time, I mean, as you fucking do, and head to the United Nations building to save Julian and Nori, while X-23 saves Boom Boom. Elixir cures Julian and Nori of the Legacy Virus, saving them. Beautiful. Anyway, let's move on. Utopia. When anti-mutant protesters led by Simon Trask march in San Francisco in support of Proposition X, Julian and a number of other mutants attempt to stall their demonstration. When Hellion taunts the protesters, Trask incites a riot. During the chaos, Julian physically assaults Trask on national television. "Ooh, devil, you naughty boy." The event calls Norman Osborn and his Dark Avengers to the city to restore order. Hang on a second. I was just calling Julian a naughty boy, but if anyone remembers Norman Osborn, he was also a bit of a dick. You know, Green Goblin and all that. So if he happened to bring in the Green Goblin to restore order, what the fuck is going on? Anyway, in the process, Osborn forms his own team of X-Men led by Hellion's former mentor, Emma Frost, and institutes a curfew on the city. Okay. Believing this to be a last stand for mutant rights, Hellion gathers a group at a bar owned by the former X-villain Avalanche, with the intent to break curfew and get arrested on TV in non-violent protest. Fucking hell. How boring is this storyline? Jesus. The group fails to make its intended point as Match tortures the surrounding area with his powers, and Hellion is arrested by Emma Frost and her Dark X-Men. They are taken into custody after battle. Later, he is, along with all the other prisoners, saved when Emma and Namor betray Osborn and is currently residing with the rest of the X-Men on Utopia. Fucking hell. That one sentence changes everything a little bit, doesn't it? It just sort of sweeps everything under the rug. I mean, how was Osborn betrayed? I mean, that's a whole story in itself. And now they're all fucking on Utopia. I mean, Christ. This comic book stuff is a bit over my head, I'm not going to lie. Anyway, Necrotia. Hellion is seen with Surge and Prodigy fighting the resurrected Rusty Collins. That's it. Next one. Second Coming. Hellion participates in a battle to protect the mutant messiah. Well, whoop-de-doo. Hope and the remaining mutants on Utopia, because that's where they're fucking hanging out now, apparently, and poor Osborn hasn't got a clue, against Bastion's Nimrod-class sentinels from the future. I mean, we've already established from this article on Wikipedia that they can all fucking time travel as and so when they please. During the fight, he is overpowered and is injured, losing both of his hands and most of his right forearm. He is placed on life support prior to being shipped to Namor's underwater Atlantean colony for reasons of safety and protection. He is eventually stabilized but cannot participate in the remaining battle. After Nimrod fleet is destroyed and Hope defeats Bastion, Hellion confronts her, bitter about his injuries, and is rebuffed by Magneto. Good grief. Good fucking grief. Well, we're only down to the two now. It's been a wild ride, hasn't it? So next we have the Fables of Reconstruction. So following the events of the Second Coming, that we've just gone over there, Hellion is with Kavita Rao, another character to try and fucking remember. There's already a billion. Testing metal hands created by Madison Jeffries. However, his telekinetic energy apparently interferes with the operation of cyborg hands or even conventional prosthetic hands, since none can be adapted to his use. Oh dear. Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Again, more karma. After destroying her lab, Rogue comes to collect him to help out rebuild. See, this is what I mean. The writing is fucking dog shit on this article. I'm sorry, whoever's done this, slap on the wrist. During the reconstruction of a building, Hellion is resentful of Hope Summers, again, whoever she is, blaming her for his injuries. While taking out his anger on some old walls, he starts becoming reckless and almost hits Hope and a young girl helping her. I mean, we've already... He's a dick. He's a fucking dick. He's arrogant, he's privileged, and even in his worst moments, he treats those who are vulnerable like shit. I'm not going to drop the C-bomb on the podcast. That's not what we're here for. I will have to put a disclaimer that a few F-bombs have been dropped. But he is a bit of a C-word, isn't he? Anyway, Hope goes to confront Julian when Karma flies forward towards the trio and begins attacking them. Oh, the name's Karima, but I read it as Karma, because Karma is coming for both of them. But it says trio, so apparently there's three. See, can't even follow it. During the ensuing battle, Hellion's powers manifest uniquely as he is able to feel the telekinetic wave and the objects it touches down to their subatomic structures, moving it through the empty space within atoms to hit a target behind them. After momentarily disposing of Hellion when he is distracted by the other X-Men, who think he initiated the attack, Karima defeats the team and begins procedures to kill them off. But Hellion engages her a second time in a short and brutal assault fueled by his repressed rage, crushing her in battle. Her human side briefly reasserts itself during the fight, asking Hellion to put her out of her misery and stop her from harming others. He does so, delivering a telekinetic onslaught that leaves her in a coma and possibly brain dead. During a conversation with Cyclops, Hellion shows no remorse for his actions and is informed he is on probation, but he cannot control himself. He will either have to leave Utopia or be locked up in the brig. See, this is it. He shows no fucking remorse. He's a psychopath. He's a bloody psychopath. And yes, though she asked to have that happen to her, someone with true empathy would have either really struggled with that or not done it at all. You know. No, I'm still like in the camp of this guy's an absolute dick. Right, here we are. It's the end. X-23, we're finally here with my shit microphone and my computer that's whirring, which I'm going to have to somehow noise cancel when I finish this podcast, and my beautifully cheap pale ales from Lidl. So, one last swig. And let's read on, shall we? X-23. In the X-23 series, Hellion and X-23 address their previous closeness more openly since the events of New X-Men. While he defends her from the scorn of her former New X-Men teammates, who are wary of her due to her involvement with the X-Force. After a fire breaks out at a halfway house X-23 was sent to, Hellion goes to visit her in the infirmary on Utopia. Hang on a second. Why the fuck is X-23 at a halfway house when she can just hang out at the X-Mansion or wherever? I mean, there's bits of the story missing here, or I've just missed something else, and X-23's being abandoned. But isn't the whole point of X-Men is that those who are rejected are brought in and made to feel welcome? That's the whole point of X-Men. Anyway, makes no sense. Hellion goes to visit her at the infirmary on Utopia. Blah, blah, blah. When he enters her room, he walks in on what appears to be X-23 stabbing Wolverine. In reality, however, Logan's soul has been sent to hell and his body is possessed by a demon. The demon started the fire in the halfway house, murdered its occupants, and has been invading X-23's dreams. While X-23 tries to explain, the demon-possessed Wolverine stabs Hellion in the back. To save his life, X-23 bargains with the demon. Jesus Christ, it's fucking escalated now, isn't it? Hellion has left Utopia with Wolverine to Westchester, to the Jean Grey Academy. I was going to say Jean then. Which is now being headed by Wolverine. 8 months after the events of Secret Wars, Hellion is shown to be dying of the Mpox disease after accidentally coming in contact with the Terrigen Mist. He attacks New Atalan in retaliation, again another character we don't fucking know, but is defeated by Synapse, another character we don't know. Hellion is then taken into custody by the Inhumans, with Medusa promising that he will be given medical attention. Okay. Medusa, another character we don't know, but a name we are very, very much familiar with. So Hellion is taken into a custody, and someone called Medusa, of all people, is promising medical attention. Yeah. Rock solid medical attention, mate. Hellion was treated and cured of his Mpox symptoms at the New Atalan General Hospital, As an act of gratitude, he decided to pay the hospital back for volunteer work. Fucking hell. Of everything that's happened, of all the emotional abuse, blackmail that's going on here and there, no doubt, and the affairs, and the fucking romance, and the war, and the time travelling, and people's limbs getting fucked up, all of this shit, getting stabbed, demons getting brought back to life, and to show your gratitude, you're going to do a bit of volunteer work, you privileged little dick. There's so much more that you could do. Dick. Right. So we're right at the end now. We've got powers and abilities. So this covers everything on Hellion now. We've gone through all his story and, you know, what he goes through. We've pretty much concluded, or at least I have, that he's a massive, massive blue ribbon, gold medal award winning dick. And he has no redeeming features apart from the fact that he's fictional. So let's have a look at his powers and abilities. Hellion is an unusually strong telekinetic. He is able to fly at supersonic speeds, create telekinetic force fields, unleash powerful blasts of telekinetic force, and levitate and manipulate objects from afar. His telekinetic aura is coloured light green and glows around his hand, body, and the objects he telekinetically moves and controls. When Emma unlocked subconscious blocks on his mutant ability, Hellion was able to reach a flight speed several times the speed of sound, faster than one of the one Sentinel pilots believed possible, and destroyed the Sentinel by telekinetically hurling an armoured wagon through it, but was severely injured from the physical strain afterward. With this lack of focus, Hellion has difficulty using his telekinetic abilities with fine control, such as lifting up a paperclip, but has no problem in raw power when it comes to destroying the entire floor that the paperclip resides on. During his battle with Bastion, he said he felt his telekinesis get stronger, and he can now control matter at a molecular level, which is what we just read about before. This was proven when he sent a telekinetic blast through Hope and into Omega Sentinel without harming Hope, but completely destroying Omega Sentinel. Now that's some dope ass shit, right there. It's very dope. Unfortunately, he's still a dick. In contrast to most other possessors of extremely strong and powerful telekinesis, Hellion tends to focus and channel his telekinetic energy almost exclusively through his hands, very rarely projecting it as a free flow outward directly from his brain. After losing his hands, Hellion's control over his telekinesis was greatly strengthened and magnified. He used his exceptionally powerful telekinesis to feed himself, and his telekinetic aura now emanates from his brain. After the Age of X, Dr. Kavito Reo observes that Julian has actually benefited from the experience. She notes that the perception of living a lifetime in that world has allowed Hellion to refine his much stronger telekinetic abilities to fully control and manipulate the artificial hands created for him, a feat that normally could not be accomplished in Julian's condition before the Age of X reality. Well, bravo. Let's all take our fucking hats off for good old Julian Keller. Hellion. Well fucking done, mate, for finally coming back and kicking life's ass and figuring out how to just be even more privileged and powerful, you fucking bitch. Honestly, good grief. What an insufferable character. I mean, unless he's a little funny, or, you know, they do like a live-action version and the actor's really, really good. Fuck it. I think this character's dog shit. Absolute dog shit. I mean, there's a few notes here on the other versions, and there's a big list of references, but I think we're done. I think that's it, you know. I mean, we were always going to fall into this kind of risk with the podcast, with doing randomised articles. We were going to come across things that perhaps weren't the most fascinating, you know. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to end it there. This was episode 2, going over Hellion, one of the characters of the Marvel Comics. Going forward, naturally the format of these podcasts is going to become tighter, neater, you know, more rehearsed, and we'll see where this takes us. So again, thanks for listening, and take care.